praying for DMX right now. Come on in, Afterthought Podcast. We live on IG. We are live on Facebook. Sending prayers out to DMX. And why not? I gotta play this joint too. Let's go. Prayers up for DMX right now. This was a classic. Follow us on Instagram. We everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube Live. Before we get started, we gotta show love. Send the prayers out to the big homie DMX. Stop. Drop. Shut them down. Open up shop. Welcome to the Afterthought Podcast. I'm with the gang. We full strength tonight too. You know, shout out to everybody on the check-in. Tiff is in the building. JP is here. Myself. Thank you for everybody on the IG, Facebook checking already. Well, you know, we got to get started. We got a lot to talk about. You got a lot of topics to catch up on. A lot going on in the world, but let's start with our wellness check. I'm going to go to Tiff first. How you feeling, sis? How's everything? How was your Easter also, too, by the way?
What did I do? I didn't do anything on Easter. Layla doesn't care about the holidays, so neither do I.
Layla don't care about the holidays.
She don't care. She was like, we're celebrating a bunny that lays eggs. No, I'm good. She went in her room. So she doesn't care, and that's good because there's no more pressure for me on holidays.
Right.
She's 17. She's at that age. She don't care.
No, that makes sense. My niece, you know, she's, you know, it's a toddler. You know, she was in here with her little Easter egg basket and all, you know, giving everybody candy out and, you know. But, I mean, it's so crazy how society has got us, you know, showing love to this rabbit and candy more than Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, we will make anything a goddamn holiday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, but, you know, I'm glad folks got to, you know, go to church and spend time. What about you, Jay?
It was good being able to just chill with the fam, you know, got to watch the verses.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that later. Ronald Isley and Earth
Wind. We got to talk about that. So I got to enjoy that with my mom and Uncle Kev. Shout out to Uncle Kev. Yo, they had me in stitches. When we talk about it, we're going to talk about that later. But I had a great weekend. Was able to catch up with a bunch of my peoples. Big Aries gang energy. Shout out to my whole TakeOver gang. We did it up. You know, I started feeling like I could start kicking myself off for, you know, potential birthday festivities, because, you know.
When is your birthday, JP?
The 18th.
So
that's next week.
Yeah. Yeah, so the countdown.
I'm trying to listen to this weekend.
What are you doing for your birthday? What's the plan?
I don't even know yet. Maybe a little dinner with the fam. Food, some light. Chill out. Try to catch up with people in smaller groups because, you know, it's hard to get big groups all in one place. So it's I might just break my time up and be like, all right, I'm here with you today, here with you tomorrow. I'm with this crew this day, and then make it all work.
That's what's up. A lot going on. We had a good weekend, Jay.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend. A lot going on this past weekend. Comedy is back in New York City. I say that's thing opening. We're going to get to that later. But I wanted to base this episode particularly around a specific topic before we go into, you know, the fire squad and things, just, you know, shouting out different topics of crazy stuff going on. But I wanted to start with talking about showing gratitude first. Showing love and doing things without wanting things in return. You know, I've been in comedy for a while, and I just feel like, you know, a lot of times I don't want nothing in return. I want to see you win. And I feel like as a culture, you know, we need more of that. Doing things, you know, without asking for anything in return. Putting people in position to win. Because I think the universe sees that. And you know what happens when you put out good energy into the universe? It comes back a million folds over. So that's something I want to ask y'all about. How do y'all feel about showing gratitude and about doing things without, you know, certain things? Not everybody, not everything, but how y'all feel about gratitude and, you know, that, right? Especially now in the world.
I mean, I'm big on gratitude. I'm a very generous person. Sometimes I overshare, mm-hmm. you know, so you got to be careful with that, because you got to protect your energy, because people that are there to be users and, you know, get over, because you got people that are get over artists, you know what I mean? So they can smell that. You know,
facts.
So you have to be able to know how to protect your energy when it comes to that. But at the same time, when you do give, you can't think about that either, about being used, because guess what? You know what? If someone is using you and they're not doing things with good faith and appreciation, that's what's going to come back to them. That's what the universe is going to serve them, you know, because the universe knew your intention. So always be intentional. And make sure that any good deed that you do, or anything that you do, any gesture, always check your spirit before you do it, and ask yourself,
I like how you
why
said
am
that.
I doing this? Why
check
am
your
I
spirit.
Doing this?
Yeah.
But sometimes you That's can important. Do it out of being pretentious and not realize it. You know what I mean?
And you be too naive about it sometimes. That you're never too old to be naive. But
That's a great point.
Check your spirit while you're doing things.
I think y'all both make excellent points. You know, we owe it to ourselves and to everyone else to continue to pay it forward. Like, that's the only way we as a people continue to grow, is to understand that we have to take the lessons that we've learned, apply them, and then pass them on. Like, we're no good like holding on or keeping knowledge, and then when we die and then we're done, you know, and no one knows what to do, we're in tough predicaments. I think gratitude, it's a byproduct of how you were raised, what you were around. I think a lot of people sometimes suffer with it because they've never been in environments, unfortunately, where they've been taught to say, okay, it's okay to give this to someone. It will come back to you. Your turn will be here. Things come full circle. Like, some people, you know, one thing I've always heard, and I think it's important, like, you know, the difference between people who were like raised and brought up to survive and people who grew up in places and environments around, like, where they were taught to live and to love.
Yeah.
So how you go about doing things and how you approach things will vary because of that. So
that is
gratitude,
true.
It when you've had it around you and it's been in, like, and you know, people have sacrificed and paid forward
That's
for
fact.
You, like, you're going to make sure, like, it's not even a thought process of if or should I or maybe. No, you're going to do it, and not with the idea expecting anything in return. You're gonna do it because you know this is the right thing to do.
Exactly. And it's just, you feel it in your spirit too, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, that's how I feel. I think we'll get much further as a culture if we started from a place of showing gratitude first. It's almost like when you have a mediation, when two people are in conflict, you know, whether you're middle school, high school. I'm an educator, those that know me working in the Board of Ed. When we do mediations, a lot of times the best way, and I'm saying mediations with students and adults, sometimes intertwined. You got to separate it and think from a place of, if I'm trying to resolve this, I need to be only focused on what I did. You get what I'm saying? And that, in that regard of, like, if we both come to this middle point and focus on only what we did individually to make this situation, it's amazing how much you can communicate and get past something. So I just think that showing gratitude, we should take from that same keynote of that, and how that is, you know what I'm saying? Like that type of energy, and show each other love. So I just wanted to start with that on the positive, and then get us to something that we all watch. JP said it. I'm gonna bring it up on the ladder. The Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind, and Fire. Let's talk about it. Did you see it? Tip, did you get a chance to see it?
I didn't get a chance to
Let me tell you something. Shout out to everybody on the check-in. Everybody, Javon, everybody, Cinnamon, the IG was popping. Facebook was popping. If you see it, drop a comment right now. But I gotta say this. out of all the shit, you know what got me pissed off? And I bet you this, y'all can agree with me. Steve Harvey was doing too much goddamn talk. We didn't need a 45-minute monologue about your fucking history with this group. I'm sorry, Steve, but this was not Family Feud. And it got to a point where I was so hyped to hear the music. I'm sweating, like, because I'm, you know, I got dressed for this shit. Y'all niggas is laughing. I threw on the button up. Nigga threw on a cardigan.
Shut up, you ain't doing it.
He took out the cocaine. It was about to be a party.
Joe wore his Jesus to the verses.
Listen, when I tell y'all, I was so goddamn ready. And I just, you know how you waiting for something to start? And Steve Harvey just kept fucking telling the story. And I said, somebody don't fucking... DJ Nice was in the back, like, come on, son. DJ Nice,
hey,
like,
Joe.
Come on.
Hurry up, Steve.
Joe.
Hey, go ahead, Jay. How you fucking?
No, I just want to say, what he did was keep calling D Nice DJ Nice instead of calling him D Nice.
Yes.
So, I have it on. I'm with my moms. I'm with Uncle Kev because they're like, oh, you know, we getting right for this. We getting right for this. Oh my mom go, why does she keep calling him DJ Nice? His name is D Nice. And then my uncle goes,
even your mom said it.
Oh, nigga, getting the DJ name wrong.
And then my uncle goes, hey, yo, sis, you know he horrible with names. Remember Miss America?
Oh, yeah. He didn't even know Miss America's name. Fucking Steve
he
Harvey.
The wrong
because you know why? Steve Harvey needs a fucking, what you call that? The card, the cue cards. If he don't got cue cards,
he has them, Joe.
Jesus. But I ain't gonna front. When they play that For the Love, For the Love. When they played that, the Isley Brothers, that was my shit. But
let me tell you something.
It's a classic.
He was talking for too long.
Somebody needs to say, all right, Steve. All right,
but they did, and he got mad about it. This shit was this. He was like, "You know, grown folk like to talk. You know, this grown folk music, grown folk business. Grown folk like to talk. We having fun, mind you." Yo, the crazy thing is that you know the back of the whole verses smelled like Bengay, E&J, and Grandma Ye.
You wanted it better, Jay. I raised you one. Everywhere across the country, and I'm talking. All the continents, even niggas that ain't have TV was watching this shit. When they heard the Isley Brothers going at Earth, Wind & Fire, niggas found a way to watch that shit. But when I tell you, I didn't recognize Mr. Big. I'm just going to be honest with you. That gray shit threw me off a little bit. That didn't look like the same motherfucker that was coming for R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, yeah.
Like I was like, where's the perm? I thought he was going to have the gray perm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was going
He still like, got the whole slick back.
Earth, Wind & Fire. That they could still stand up and perform. Because every song that dropped, they stood up and said, we still got this two-step down. I don't know what y'all niggas talking about.
Yo, did you see Ernie Isley on that guitar, though?
Oh, he was
my man playing the guitar behind his head, behind his back.
Sitting on the couch. I'm like, damn, nigga, this nigga's killing right now.
I'm like, but, my goodness.
But the verses is showing us, I'm going to be honest, a new way of, how can I say, celebrating these different artists. Because I think from when we first started in the pandemic, what was the first one? Was it Brandy and Monica? Or am I wrong? I could be wrong.
No.
That was one of the earlier ones. But like,
the first one was Timbaland and Swizz Beatz. That was the first,
right.
First one.
There you go.
The concept came from when they did it at Summer Jam, at Hot 97 right. Summer Jam. Fact. So what they were doing was they were doing a best of battle. And then that happened at Summer Jam a few years ago. And Tim and Swizz took the idea from Summer Jam and then.
Yeah.
Parlayed into this, but the first few ones you got to go all the way back to like Sean Garrett and
Sean Garrett wasn't one. That's right. He damn
Sean Garrett and Neo.
Yeah, I was gonna say Matt. What up on the check in? What up, everybody?
Sean Garrett and Neo. That don't
even Neo. What up, homie? We here live Afterthought Podcast. Feel free to shoot over to Facebook Live, my page. You can watch the show live. I'm here with Tiff. JP just bowed out for a second, get his Wi-Fi right. But I ain't going front, Tiff. That type of era of music that the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind & Fire was able to produce a lot of that stuff we came up on, you know, our parents, you know what I'm saying? Our aunts, uncles.
I remember
uncles.
I won Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets on the radio station because my little grown ass was trying to call for them to play Doodle Brown, right? I wasn't supposed to be.
Money.
I had a summer youth job. I'm calling on my job trying to get this song played, right? Because you can't listen to that shit at home. And I called and got through and won tickets to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I gave them to my mom and her husband.
It's so crazy because some of the stuff, my favorite of all Earth, Wind, and Fire, do you mind? Because I remember hearing that when Steve came out to the King of Comedy. So I was already embedded to that song. When he played that, I'm like, ooh.
What people don't realize about Kings of Comedy, when he did that whole bit and talk about like everybody with four mics, you saw Steve was itching to be like, this is my moment to be on stage with these motherfuckers. Like, I don't know. He got Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't know. Somebody about to call me Thunderstorm or or Mountaintop. But I'm writing it. I'm something because...
Listen. They could have called him Captain Planet. All they needed was another goddamn heart, and they would have been goddamn Captain Planet. Earth, wind, fire, water.
He looked like he had one of them Captain Planet rings on with his outfit. Shit.
Man, I want to get into something else that was on television. Obviously, right now, the DMX. Right now, shout out to DMX. I'm praying for DMX, his family, him. Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, it works out and, you know, there is some good news. But right now, you know, he's on life support and, you know, we need to just keep praying for that brother and sending our love. And it's so crazy because, you know, when you hear that interview about, you know, the blunt that was laced when he was a child and me and Terry were talking about that before you came in and, you know, how cardiac arrest is a motherfucker, man. And it'll have you like a vegetable. You know what I'm saying? Like really not being able to function. And I think that's where DMX is at right now from overdose that he's on life support. And those that do know or may not know with life support, it's a machine that's pretty much electronically keeping you alive, keeping your organs going, you know, the oxygen being pumped. So y'all could pray. So go ahead, Jay. And then I'm
gonna go. I was just gonna say we gotta just keep Xing our prayers, you know. Shout out to everybody. Because, you know, he meant so much to all of us. Shout out to the whole Rough Riders team. You know, shout out to Avery. You know, she hold it down with them. Shout out to everybody up there in the 914.
That's right. That is right.
Yeah, shout out to the whole 914, man. For sure. For sure. Because he's just an integral piece of our foundation growing up in the city, growing up uptown. Like, come on, like. It's just,
I mean, if you had a fight, in the 90s, you thought you was part of the Rough Riders. Like, I thought...
If you had a t-shirt...
Yeah. Listen, if you was in the hood, Jay, you better know this. You was in the hood as a kid. There was a way to make your bike sound like a bike. You know where I'm going with this. You can take the quarter water. I'm a born kid. I'm talking Eagle Walk Projects. I'm talking Gun Hill, 233rd. Niggas used to put quarter waters in our bikes, and we used to be gone from school. So, like, I mean, that was a part of the culture for me as a kid. So, you're right. You're absolutely right, Jay.
Man. So, and they say, and what the latest update to everything you said, which was spot on, Joe, is that they have to do a test for like brain activity because that's really what they're saying is gonna be like a big determining factor of whether they may or may not, you know, continue to keep him on life support.
It is or isn't work, you know. But you know
what? At the end of the day, doctors, machines, you call on whatever it is you may believe in, whether it's good spirits, good energy. Yep. If you believe in the power of prayer, pray for the man. And just continue to be like, hopefully he could pull through because it's such a tragedy knowing how he first got started and seeing how much of a grip it has taken on his life. But he's been a testimony and someone who who's been able to fight, you know, and keep fighting. So, you know, when you see someone who always fights, you kind of think, oh, okay,
yeah,
he'll get back up. He'll be all right. He's going to bounce back. This is what X do. And then, and now.
Exactly. I said, I was like, this is X right here. He's going to bounce back.
Yeah, but it's rough.
What you think, Tiff?
It's just really unfortunate, the whole backstory of it all, and how, at such a young, tender age, trusting someone, you know, someone that you look up to, and how they introduce you into the devil. You know what I mean? A demon that took over his life since he was such a young kid.
And facts.
He's a tremendous spirit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
DMX is like, you can feel him when he talk. He don't just rap like that. He talk like
he's
that.
He's a whole vibe.
You know what old I mean? Vibe. And he's just real, you know, straightforward, you know, no chaser. And you can just really feel him.
That's a fact, too.
I don't know. He's strong, but I don't know what we're praying for exactly. You know what I mean? Because we don't know what part of the journey this is. So,
amen to that.
I just pray for his family and the people that love him.
His children.
The people that are close to him and know him.
Everybody on the check-in, throwing the prayers up right now on Facebook.
That they can cope with this and they can handle this and get through this, because wherever DMX, if he comes back here on earth with us, or if he goes to the other side, wherever he goes, he's gonna be straight. You know what I mean? Because he's just a spirit that can't be reckoned with. So
I think this is gonna be something, you know, when because everybody got a date, you know, when it's time to leave. I always talk about it on stage. Shout out to Chicago on the check-in. I see y'all. I'm going to be in Chicago tomorrow, sis. I see you. But I say this to say, imagine DMX in heaven yelling and shit. Everybody trying everybody trying to talk. And, hey, man, where we going, right? Come on, son. Bring it down tonight. Bring it down. We in heaven right now. We in church right now. But
could
no, man.
Imagine his conversation with God, though. What would he say?
My man, you know, they said they was going to hold me down. You know, you're like, dang. Shout out to X, man. I hope he does pull through and at least we get to see him speak one more time, and you know, hopefully he pulls through. So I just wanted to definitely show love. And we got another brother we gotta pray for. Our brother Tiger Woods. I gotta say this. You know, they released the report on his accident, and I'm big on details. I'm big on paying attention to certain things. First of all, it's the second tree this nigga done slammed into. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I think he needs to stay away from trees. But in particular, there was a turn that he was doing 75 miles an hour on. And I don't know, they saying cell phone pings and records are saying he might have been on his phone. He might have hit the, you know, them turns in them residential areas. I used to live upstate, so I know those turns. So to look at some of the just to give you some of the breakdown of his injuries, I'm not even going front. I mean, I'm hoping he recovers. It's going to take a long time, but if you've seen the pictures, I'm looking at the report. He fractured his left fibula. His right leg was shattered in three places. He had a bone coming out the skin. He had lacerations under his jaw and his chin. He had bruised rib cages. And they said that, you know, it was like they almost had to cut the fucking car open to get him out. So
yeah, they had to use the jaws of life.
How fast was you going? Like in that section. Damn.
What kind of car was it? Was it small?
I believe
no.
Was it a sports?
It was
car?
An SUV.
It was an X5.
It was an SUV.
Yep.
But it wasn't his car. It was a car from the one of his sponsorships, whether it was from the golf course. It was a loaner car. Like, it wasn't his vehicle or a vehicle that he's used to normally driving. So,
and good point. Somebody just said, Jay, maybe you could, you know, I mean, we've all been there and drive. They're saying that it was a possibly accidental accelerating instead of braking. I've done that before, but I ain't did it in a residential way. I'm going 75.
And you know, that's very possible. That's possible. I was just going to say that even in his first accident, you know, the one thing when it happened, I was just hoping, like, I hope there's no drugs involved like there was the last time.
That's what I just said. I'm like, is this nigga on a drug?
No, I'm out. Hold up, Jay. Hold up, Jay. Last time, this nigga ran out his house because his wife caught him and the nigga crashed the tree in his yard. That's different.
No.
What kind of wife you got? Did she kill people? Like,
I watched the documentary.
No, I'm playing.
I watched the documentary, Joe.
Go ahead. No, I'm playing, Jay.
I watched the documentary, and when they pulled him over, yo, they showed the actual footage of when they arrested him out of the car, like the body cam footage from the cops and from the cop car when he got arrested in Florida.
From this accident, or you?
No, not this one. The accident before Florida, because this accident happened in L.A. They showed it in the documentary on HBO, and they did a great job. Salute the people. Salute to my homie. Yo, Ariel, HBO, what up? Sorry, but I had to sit here and say, I hope this isn't a situation where he's been, you know, continuing to use, or he had found himself in a situation where he was functioning, and he talked about it in the documentary a lot. Like, he's had so many surgeries because of all the pain to his back and to his legs.
Right.
From playing golf for so many years, I'm hoping that it wasn't a situation where he started abusing
depending on pain, it.
Yes, or becoming dependent on it because he still has to like go out, still play, still be on the court. And you know, it sometimes some people are so blinded with success, and like this is all he's known his whole life.
A fact,
like when you saw part of like the documentary, he seems like a very awkward person. Like just his social skills are just like awkward. Oh, yeah. Like
that's been documented. Yep.
And so when you have that, a lot of times, I don't know if he necessarily ever felt comfortable. And the father, as strict as his father was, father who did and put so much pressure without putting the pressure on him. Like, I think he's going through so much that we don't fully know or can fully understand, because to be at that height of popularity, to have survived all the scandal, all of these things, like, what goes through his mind, his actual thoughts or desires to maybe live, not want to live, what he has going on, like, it's so much going on, and it's so convoluted. You just hope to see all of these people just.
Yeah.
If they need the help.
I got one more before we switch the energy to ain't this some bullshit? I had to get it cleared from Tiff first, because you know normally we have ain't this some bullshit with Tiff, but I had to let her know I have one that I gotta bring to the forefront as a group coming up next. But this last one. Our brother Deshaun Watson. When I say our brother, you know, all my brothers are my brothers, whether I don't know you or not. Our brother, he's the quarterback for the Houston Texans, and he's in the process of trying to get traded and leave there. But he's got 12 sexual assault allegation lawsuits.
Make that 22.
I'm sorry. I was in Atlanta and I've been on the road. So that's 22 now. I'm sorry, Jay. 22.
It's
now
wild.
It went from 12 to 22.
And these are all, these are alleged. We weren't there, but it's stemming from services rendered by women that he hired off of Instagram models for, whether it was masseuse services or whatever. But there's women coming forth. And there was one that I heard as of today that she tried to get some hush money out of him. So it's just a bad all around situation. I wasn't there. And I would never tell a woman if something happened to not come forth. So I'm not that type. Be honest, certain shit you shouldn't put yourself in a situation for things to happen and be in that situation. So
what,
I'm not.
What are the allegations?
The allegations that 22 different women that he sexually assaulted them in the process of spending time or getting these services from him.
He placed his genitalia around them, or like when he would want them to get in very intimate places to touch, and they may like accidentally touch him. He'd say certain kind of loop. It was allegedly said by one of that he would sit here and say,
and that word allegedly, just, you got to keep running that word.
Just
back.
Touch just, it or just go ahead and you can keep doing that. Right, so right. That was allegedly said from one of the accusers who spoke out. Now, Nike has just decided to suspend all endeavors with Deshaun Watson right now, and the rest of his sponsors have followed as well.
That's a fact. When we say suspend, different from let go. Suspend means they're gonna
not terminated.
No checks, no checks until after this is over. But come back right now. As of now,
suspended and cut ties with. I think this is a very unfortunate situation. And the one question that I have, nothing to do with the accused, because I stand, everyone needs to speak their truth. Had he not requested the trade from a team with the owner that has a history of saying racially insensitive things?
Okay.
And the dynamics of that, the owner said these things years ago about keeping the said something along the lines of making sure you keep the slaves on the plantation. Okay. Yeah, and he's known to have had other racist dealings in the Texas.
Might not like Deshaun Watson on top of all that. He might not even like him on top of that.
But he's good.
I like that angle.
And so he's a black quarterback. He was using his voice to try to sit here and say, I don't want to be a part of this organization because this organization is doing X, Y, and Z. Promise me one thing, and they're like, that's not okay. And now you're fighting against an ownership, an establishment, also tied to the NFL, who we know has always been on the back end of opinions, openness, fairness, because for generations, Tiff, they would think, oh, black men can't be quarterbacks. That's a stigma that's fairly new that had to be fought through.
Right.
And because of him wanting to speak up and speak out about that situation, and the fact that all of this came together at the point when he was really using his voice to sit there and say, I'm not okay with this. We saw all of this pushback instantaneously. Like, I'm very, very, the timing of it all just seems very shaky. It's not sitting here saying that he's innocent. I'm not sitting here. I'm not making any excuses for Deshaun Watson at all. Because if he engaged in any kind of BS behavior, call him the fuck out. That shit is whack, bro. You can't give it up like that, point blank, period. But the dynamics and the timing of how this is all played out, just it kind of rubs me, it makes me feel a certain way, Joe.
I'm hoping it works itself out in terms of whatever the resolution is. I don't like to see none of my brothers, you know. But again, if you did some shit and it's going to hit the fan, you got to take responsibility.
Own it.
That's life. Shout out to JP. Yo, rest up, JP. Shout out to JP Justice, my Bronx brother, OG comedian. COVID got him fucked up, right? COVID got him fucked up, but he, like he said, he ain't going to let it claim him. Do what you got to do. We need you back
out
here.
Rest up, JP. We miss seeing you outside, my man.
We need you and DMX back. I need both of y'all, all right? For real. So that's that, man. Tiger Woods. So I wanna transition to this ain't this some bullshit, which we normally do with Tiff, but I had to get this cleared for tonight's show. So like I said, ain't this some bullshit. I wanna run this topic by y'all. Let me throw the banner up to give it, you know what I'm saying? There it is. So Tiff, I gotta read this to you. Cause this is some bullshit. I'm gonna set the precedent. There's a lawsuit out right now against Taco Bell. There was a taco eating contest at a minor league baseball game back in 2015. And apparently, this gentleman that was participating in the taco eating contest In the process of, you know, doing this thing, trying to, I guess it was, I don't know if it was the crunchy burritos or what it was, but he was eating a lot and he was doing this thing. You know how eating contests. I don't know how to break that up or make that sound even better. You know what I'm saying? But the nigga was killing out. That's what they said. The nigga was, he was killing records and all that. And about halfway through the competition, he chokes on a taco shell and dies. I'm talking jammed in his throat. The dude cold turkey right there. EMS was there. They tried to revive him. It's serious. Now, that's not bullshit. The bullshit, I feel, comes in where the son of this gentleman is suing Taco Bell. And in his lawsuit, y'all, he says the reason for the lawsuit is because if his dad would have knew of the repercussions and consequences that comes from eating at an eating contest, he wouldn't have participated. So I want to ask y'all, I'm going to go to Tiff first because this is her segment. I just took it over for tonight because this had to get to the forefront. Is this some bullshit, Tiff? What you think? Because since it's, what you
that
think?
That is a whole bunch of bullshit. I'm going to tell you that.
For like right? $20 million. $20 million.
It's a whole bunch of bullshit because what do you tell your children? You know, slow down. Don't eat so fast. You're going to choke. You know that shit at 5, okay?
You
at
can't. 2.
Fuck you is can't. You talking about? So,
the dad's fault.
So,
I agree.
Like, you sitting there fucking
shit,
swallowing burritos and shit, trying to win a contest, and you choke. That's a risk. You
should
know that.
It already sounds like some bullshit. Yours already sounds like some bullshit.
It's a bunch
what
of bullshit.
What up, David?
Okay? It's a whole full tank of bullshit. But
oh my God.
The thing is this. If the organization, wherever they were at, you said they were at a game.
It was at a minor league baseball game, and the stadium, I guess, it wasn't Taco Bell presenting this. They just used the tacos from Taco Bell or whatever the case may be as, you know, the way to the contest. So it was Taco Bell.
If Taco Bell ain't got shit to do with it, you can't sue Taco Bell. If you're going to sue the organization that threw the event, they probably can if they didn't put out a disclaimer. Like, listen, you know what I mean? And you have to sign a waiver. Like, listen, if your ass get carried away and some shit go down the wrong pipe and you die, that's not on us. That's the risk. Because you had to explain to the Gorilla Glue girl that you can't
put your ass. Great point, Tim.
You know what I mean? So,
fact.
Some shit
fact.
Just gotta be said. So,
that's a fact, Tim.
And I'm gonna tell you one thing about white people, they write letters and they know what the fuck to do. So, they gonna figure shit out.
I think I need to, what you said, wait, say what you said in pre-production when we was talking about your job. You said, if that's the case, might as well sue my job.
I can sue my job for some aggravated distress. I'm tired of this shit. This shit is coming home with me. I flip out on my daughter. She's not.
That's a bit on stage. That's a bit on stage. That's funny shit.
Right now because I'm developing fucking adult PTSD. Bipolar. It's a lot of shit going on here.
How you got PTSD from being around white people? Just I can't. You're stressing the fuck out. You're stressing me the fuck out. Oh, that's funny. But Jay, what you think of this, man?
Yes.
You know, is he in
there's nothing else. There's nothing else to say. Yes. This is bullshit. This is nothing.
Joe, if I choke on this fucking water while we on this live and I die, I'm suing the fuck out of you. Layla?
You heard me, right? She's in there. She's in the house, right?
You my proxy, baby.
Be like, yo, if I die from a heart attack because you be stressing me out, I'm suing you and all your grandkids that come after you. Just know that.
Exactly. Unless that's you come with a funny fucking waiver and a disclaimer telling me what the possible risk is, I'm suing every fucking body.
I'm reading this shit right now. This shit say $20 million, y'all. This shit is fucking crazy.
But you know what it is for me? You know what it is for me? It's the audacity for me.
Audacity.
He's
audacious than a motherfucker.
Oh, man.
What up, that's bro? It.
But that's white people shit. They write letters real quick. Oh, fuck no.
Shout out to everybody that just came in. We're talking about this lawsuit. Just want to catch those like 10 people that just came in. There's a lawsuit happening. Guy eats a Taco Bell. He was in an eating contest, and it was Taco Bell, and he choked and died. And his son is suing Taco Bell for $20 million. So the audacity is what it is for us at this point. And it's some bullshit. So
No, we gotta change it. It's a full tank of bullshit. That's what it's
Yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, that's
the full tank of bullshit.
That's different. That's different.
But you know what? I'm gonna follow the process. I'm gonna follow the protocol. I'm gonna start suing motherfuckers. You know what?
I'm gonna
start suing people.
You know, people to that point, there's really like ambulance chasers out here and people who make a living doing that shit.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Like people live for settlement checks. Like how do people survive?
I'm tired of working. I'm about to do this. Too.
I'm suing and getting settlement money. That's what people like.
Remember we spoke about this last week. Tiff, you wasn't here. There's a guy. I did it on the Whose Man's Is This segment. Do you know that there's a law, and there's an app tied to this law that if you are idling in New York City, those that don't know what idling is, if you're sitting with your car engine on and you run into the store, you can be fined hella money, especially in New York. But that's not the kicker. There is an app where you can snitch on cars sitting idling.
Who and made this app?
Wait, that ain't even
Scott. Scott?
Yes.
No.
Yes. I'm glad you brought it up so Tiff can hear this. Yes, but Joe, wait, yes.
Tiff, this is ain't this some bullshit 2.0. This ain't even the kicker. App, listen. You find a car that's sitting there because obviously with emissions and everything and you know the ozone layer and all that good stuff, I get it. You don't want all that cloud and smog in the air.
It's too late.
But wait, Tiff, you're going to laugh at this part. You can take a picture of the car idling, submit their license plate number. And you know, once you submit it through this app, you get 30% of the fine that these motherfuckers is about to pay.
Oh, I'm about to take pictures. Fuck it.
Oh, that shit got me so tight.
What's the name of this app?
I don't know, but I can send you the article.
I'm very specific and strategic on who I'm reporting. I'm reporting those who report us. So guess what?
He's got an interview on YouTube. If you type in "man idols tickets," he made like $9,000 off.
Yeah,
of
I need to make $9,000.
Ah,
I'm about
who's
to do
this. That? But
fuck DoorDash. Let's do this.
Listen, look, the pro tip is coming up, but I got it. That's a perfect segue for my segment. Whose man's is this? And I don't know if y'all watch sports. Or if you follow the NBA, or if you follow anything that's Boston Celtics, former NBA champion and NBA analyst on The Jump, which airs twice a day, Paul Pierce.
On ESPN,
was fired from ESPN earlier this week. I sound like Stephen A. Smith. I'm reporting some real shit right now. fired from his Disney job through ESPN and all this good stuff. He's on television twice a day, y'all. You know his check is crazy. He was seen on Instagram Live this past weekend at a party. It looked like it was a card game, maybe a little private game with probably some other athletes. You're playing cards, you're drinking, whatever. Cigars was out, cool. But he had the girls dancing. It was a bunch of strippers over there. And he's going live on his Instagram. Like he's not connected to a family network on television. So I want to ask y'all, like I always say when somebody do some dumb shit, whose man's is this that like you didn't say to him, my nigga, you gotta delete that, like, because somebody that's hating on you could easily like they did send that shit in to your boss and now you ain't got a job at ESPN. So
I never understand about these celebrities and these people, you know, I never understand why they don't make people lock their phones up like they do at comedy shows.
Right.
Lock your fucking phone up. If I was a person like that, of that stature, you are not coming around me with no phone. You go
lock
your shit up at the door, and that's
it. Like
any
a
footage
concert
that happens is going to be my footage under my control, my possession, and I'll do what I want to do. But you locking that phone up. You can't bring a phone here. No phones allowed.
But wait,
know, Jay.
Tiff,
hey, Jay.
To your point, hold on. To Tiff's point, this is what you. Which this is where. He messed up even more. He's the one now that was recording it.
He posted.
He's the one that clicked the live on his own IG page to say, "Come look at me." This ain't no.
Yeah, so, no, like JP said and Sonny, you're right. Y'all both saying the same thing. Well, I got you, Sif. He got fired because he went live.
He made that choice. It wasn't nobody else. It wasn't like, oh, you know.
It wasn't like Odell when he got caught with the blunt. Odell was rolling the blunt and Shorty took a picture and the Giants gave him slack. That's different. This is, you went on live to broadcast the bullshit that you're doing off the
clock. Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to get fired. Maybe he's like, unemployment is
good. I think so. Yo,
unemployment is good right now. Fire fucking me right the fuck now. I'm tired of this shit.
Right the fuck now, Tiff. Everything's the fuck now.
Fuck I'm a, shit.
Oh my I'm goodness, a, that's
fucking And matter of fact, I'm suing for all of the other shit you put me through.
That's what she said, act like Beyonce. Everybody got to sign an NDA before you walk. Hold on. You gotta make yourself sign an NDA, goddammit, because he posted the shit.
And he said, you know what? I want to get fired right now. I can't retire. I just want to get fired. That's it.
So, I want those benefits. Some NBA. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm gonna tell you something. And I'm gonna put some of our listeners on who aren't, and you too, Tiff, like for our non like sports informed fans, like there's been issues with him for a long time where he's been perceived as like a big hater, Tiff. Like, so when he's on ESPN a lot, he'll talk a lot of, like, people say he talks shit about LeBron, like he's kind of a hater because LeBron has had more success, and he would be like, you know, I think he feels very overlooked for his accomplishments and achievements.
You got one ring. Good. You got one championship ring.
One ring.
Listen, I got a check. It don't matter. I don't give a fuck about that.
But what I'm trying to your point, most people would feel like you, Tiff. But I think he feels very much slighted that, or thinks as though he doesn't get the respect he's due. There was a viral clip. Search it. When he was in his last year in the NBA, Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors, when he was playing when Paul Pierce was on the LA Clippers, there's a clip of him talking because they were playing the Clippers and he got fouled and someone was at the free throw line. And Paul Pierce is sitting on the bench, not playing, and Draymond Green screams at them. He says, "They don't love you. You want a farewell tour? They don't love you. You ain't Kobe, nigga. You ain't Kobe. They ain't got no love for you. You think this a..." So he aired him out, and like, you know how they have like the players mic'd up sometimes and stuff? Yeah. So they caught it on the mic so you could hear it. And then when they panned to Paul Pierce's face, my man was like this.
Yeah, Draymond Green is one of my favorites. Tolerated. He called Kevin Durant a bitch ass nigga. He said, "I don't give a damn what team you came from. You on some bit." And I think that's what broke the camel on the straws, all that. But
Draymond Green is one of these people, Tiff, and to everyone else, that don't give a fuck. Like, he gonna say what it is.
Let me go get my charger.
But honestly, Jay,
he's been hurting ever since.
He has, but damn.
He's been hurting ever since.
Listen, if I'm working for ESPN and I'm on twice a day, the last thing you're going to see me is anything Instagram live in the first place from my phone. You might see me at an event and somebody else may take a phone out and Instagram live me, but I would. So what I see also, wait, I got it. I think this goes back to what we were saying. He's a corny dude for that. Like, I'm just going to be honest. You didn't have to. Yes. We didn't, and them girls wasn't even all that. Let's just call it. You could have had some ratty joints.
That's the last. You. I'm mad you said that. But yeah. but the issue for me is that was all about attention. Of course. That was all something where he's like, "Look at me, look at me, look at me," and the look at me that you want the attention for isn't anything that's productive. He was like, it's counterproductive to any and everything that he's doing. And he did that and he only had like 300 people on his live. Like, you risk your whole
for your 300
whole post basketball career.
300 people.
Just to show
and prove. Even in that, they telling them he's finding out that they don't love you. You're not Kobe.
Exactly.
Right.
Like you now found you find out.
They don't love you, man.
300 viewers.
Listen.
Why risk it all? Like, to our point, all three of us are working professionals.
Fact.
There's nothing, as much as we love saying what we say, and we keep it a buck on this podcast.
We keep it 100 on the Apple
we're
podcast.
Not going on Instagram Live with a bunch of strippers behind us like,
no, oh, sir.
Look what we're doing today. Ha, 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 ha.
It's gonna be a nigga in the street with a long angle camera, a paparazzi nigga like the bodyguard catching me from across the island, nigga. If you gonna catch me,
I think he wanted out. Like you can look at him, and he just seems a little off right now. Like he just seems completely disengaged. And you know what? As much as we joke with him, as much as I could be like, yo, I ain't like him. He was on the Celtics, and I'm a Knicks fan. Whatever, like I never want to see someone
that's a fact
completely checked out. Like I really do hope that he's okay. As fun as this is, but it's like, bruh, we just gotta do better, and we gotta move smarter.
And I think right now it's that time of the show where we need the pro tip, bro. I think at the end of the day, the pro tip is always designed. We done heard a lot of bullshit, and we praying for a lot of people. We're trying to uplift our community. We talked about a lot. We still got another 15, 20 minutes left, but I got to get the pro tip in here because I feel like after all that we just heard around the world, we need a positive. Let's go, Jay. Hit us with the pro tip.
I'm gonna say something that I think is going to encompass this whole episode, from something lighthearted, something serious, things that we need to talk about in prayers and health and awareness. So I just want to say this pro tip is just personal, straight from the heart. On April 10th, 2014, I lost my father as he finished his battle with cancer. I want everyone to realize, men and women alike, brothers listening, sisters, if you have an uncle, father, brother, like, make sure you go get checked out. Make sure you are aware and in tune with everything with your health. I know we're going through a whole global pandemic right now. Everyone's all over the place with their feelings of take a vaccine, don't take a vaccine. Am I sick? Is this COVID? Is this just whatever it is? Listen to your body. Trust yourself. If you go to the doctor, make sure you ask questions. And make every informed decision that you can possibly make. Mm-hmm. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our loved ones. Because nothing, like we talked about, is promised. Nothing's owed to us. You know, we talked about DMX, his kids now having to see him in a state like that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sitting here, like, I'll be honest with y'all. I'll be completely transparent on this podcast. I was with my pops when he took his last breath. I watched it. When you lose someone or you lose something that is so near and dear to you, you find an appreciation for the simple things in life. We talked about gratitude. We understand why it's so important.
Boy.
And when those things that were instilled in you, like he instilled me, you understand why you have to continue to do that and why it is so important. So with all that being said, I want you to remember all of these different nuggets, because those all are pro tips, and just understand, be in tune with what's going on with your body and understand how you may or may not be feeling. When you're talking with someone, talk with grace. Have a listening ear. Don't talk just to respond. Don't talk just to prove a point. And let's not address each other in shame or in hatred or in judgment. Learn to listen, be understanding, ask questions, and let's not also be offended either when that happens as well. Mm-hmm. because we have a lot going on now. We talked about this offline between whether we took the vaccine, whether we don't, how we do, we don't feel. Don't judge someone and sit there and shame them for not taking a vaccine. If you're an anti-vaxxer, don't sit here and shame someone who feels comfortable with taking it because we don't know how COVID may have affected them. Mm-hmm. If you love someone, you're going to love them. Respect them and their opinions. Have healthy, informed discussions. Continue to be in tuned and aware.
That's a fact.
And that's all we can do. And when we do that, the world will continue to be a better place instead of the bullshit we've been seeing.
New York been on some bullshit. I've been here.
Be informed that if you eat real fast, you might choke.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's a possibility when you choke, your airway is cut off, so you might die.
Yes. Yes.
You gotta pick one, Jay. You gotta breathe or swallow. You can't do both.
And the audacity of the kid to sit here and do that when we have so many people who have lost loved ones, lost parents.
Yep.
And you want to sue Taco Bell over some bullshit.
First of all, that's gluttony. You should not be fucking eating like that.
Right?
Because in other countries, right here in your own country, in your own city, someone can't even have one of those tacos. And you sat there and you ate like a fucking pig and you died.
He ate 96 of them shit. He ate 96 tacos.
All right, well.
Oh, 97 was what
exactly.
Did.
And we gotta cancel that. We gotta stop. Like, people gotta start calling that shit out. That's why we have this segment on this show. We gotta call it out and bring it to the forefront. Cause Tiff is letting you know. Like, this shit is not okay. This shit is not okay, people.
Don't call out something that is... We're going to add that. Because there's a lot of stuff that needs to be called out. Food eating contests, stop them shits. Even if you don't choke, that shit is like this ain't man versus food. This is an eating challenge. You get what I'm saying? Like, man versus food, he ain't eating and feel like he's going... You know what I'm saying? He's eating a large amount of certain things. But it's like, damn, an eating contest? That can go on for hours, man. I get like...
Yo.
My thing is, don't have the audacity to sue someone because... And put out bad publicity because your father engaged and so did you in some greedy ass shit. He was being a greedy motherfucker.
Greedy ass bullshit.
And there's somebody in the next neighborhood from where you at that can't even eat.
Agreed.
You probably wouldn't even blink an eye. You wouldn't give a dollar. You wouldn't even give him one of those 97 tacos.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to laugh.
You know, I need a partner. I'm going to tag you in, Mr. Homeless Man. Come and help me with this challenge.
So true.
You know, some people just don't even have that type of compassion and consideration. They just look at people and be like, oh, you're a drug addict or whatever type of preconceived notions they have about this person that's in need, and they pass judgment. Meanwhile, you over here fucking dying from eating 97 tacos. And now you want $20 million.
It's the greedy ass shit for me. That's that line right there. That's
it's the truth. It's the fucking truth, Tiff. You absolutely right. And that's the problem. And for too long, like, I know we on a tangent now because I'm finished with the protest, but it's like we go with canceling things. We pick and choose narratives all the time instead of just trying to be thorough and consistent. If you just be thorough and consistent, that shit goes a long fucking way.
Yeah.
Be true to you. Be thorough, be consistent. It goes a long way. And to this point, act from a place of kindness and thoughtfulness. Because on 4th of July, I always would think the same thing. I'd be like, they have all these people out here in Coney Island to watch all these people, fucking Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut, all of them.
Yeah.
Niggas eating 800 hot dogs and shit.
800 hot dogs
in 15 minutes. Yeah. Niggas eating 80 hot dogs in 15 minutes.
People that starving. That's
and how many motherfuckers is at that Q train station
right there.
By the
when
stop.
All the cameras is gone.
Yep.
How many people sitting there at that Q train station that need something to eat? To Tiff's point. That's real. That's real. And we here in the city, we see that all the time. We can't be letting that, like, you telling me 800 or thousands of hot dogs from all these people, and we can't make sure these people go get something to eat?
Listen, that's
why
we
can't even say include in the, if this event is so means so much, you can't say, okay, well, let's add to the challenge. Let's go, every contestant, go pick up a partner, find a homeless person, and have them tag them in.
You know how many homeless niggas would be hyped to get tagged in? Think about it. Hold on. We got a hot dog eating going. We got a glizzy eating.
Clean them up. No,
you
but yo, clean them up.
You gotta get a haircut first. You gotta get a shape up first.
Yo, you got to clean them up.
In a van and getting homeless people and taking them to the buffet and just let them eat. You know what I mean? People need to fucking eat. That you supposed That's to be right. able to eat. If you
That's
can
the minute.
Food ahead, from honey. The earth, go ahead. So everybody is supposed
Listen,
to be able to eat.
If you told a homeless dude that he could be a part of an eating contest, he might look at you in your eye and say, you know what, it's time for me to get my shit together. I'm back in the game, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be that motivated. But, you know, gratitude is an interesting thing, man. And that's something I wanted to, you know, base this on, showing love. We talked about that earlier. We're coming to the end of this episode. And we're going to get to update shows in a minute. But shout out to everybody that tapped in today, the prayers and all that. But go ahead.
I'm just gonna say the same thing too, you know. Shout out to everyone who tapped in. And to that point, and to everything we said, one thing I always would say is you gotta give love, spread love, and show love. Like,
listen.
Those are elements.
And reciprocate the energy. You know,
whatever
pours into you pour back into them, because guess what? The same way you enjoy that energy flow when someone is pouring into you, that person needs that too. So reciprocate that energy. You know what I mean? Like, it's someone that I listen to her podcast all the time. It's free.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But I gain a lot. For the past 2 years, I gain a lot of knowledge from listening to her podcast. So you know what? I just subscribed to one of her other things that she has going on Patreon. I don't even listen to that, but I had to find a way to pay it forward for her pouring into me, and she doesn't even know that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you can find a way. If we can find a way to enter a fucking hot dog eating contest, we can find a way to support someone that pours into
us. That's why I love it. Have you been diving into them gummies though? I'm just saying.
I can't do it.
Fuck that. Marijuana is becoming legal in New York.
No, I'm sorry.
Shout the Governor Cuomo.
My spirit is feeling good because if I'm anxious or dealing with anything, any pressure, a bitch be paranoid and shit.
Shout the Cuomo for that one.
Things go south real quick. Now, where's the fucking milk?
Yes.
Where's the milk? I don't like this. That's
funny as shit. But nah, I mean, on a positive again, I think showing love doesn't cost anything. You know, there's a difference in showing love. And I'm going to be honest. This is something I got to say. I see it in the industry I work in. There's people that will call you bro, sis, family.
That shit don't mean shit.
Like your shit. Come to your shit. And still be out to get you and see you your demise. So, you gotta protect your energy.
The same way a person go to a bank and case that shit for years before they rob. You gotta watch out for the bank casers, okay? Because they ain't not.
That's what we gonna call them now, Tiff. The bank case, I like that. That's what we calling them. Because that's what they do.
Wait, what you gonna call them? Say it again.
The bank casers. The bank casers.
Like, let me see how I'm gonna do this. See how I'm gonna do this type of.
But Tiff, in real life and metaphorically, it works because to your point, Joe, those people who are doing that, why are they casing you like that? Because they understand the way.
About to try to rob your ass.
And they understand the way your movements are now dictating how everything else is flowing. And they want that. They want that.
There's a good way to do that, and there's a negative way to do that. You know what I mean? There's a good way because that's called
Clay, what up?
And you're being inspired by someone, and you're learning. Yes. You know what I mean? We all are inspired by someone. We all follow someone. You have to, in order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. You have to know who the fuck to follow. You know what I'm saying? Smart.
And like you said, you can't be too naive with your energy.
Yeah.
You can't be giving. So. Just you can't be reachable to everybody. Everybody should not be able to reach you that easy. That's your energy should not be able to be reached that at a certain time.
Access denied.
There's a process getting
or I'm gonna get a t-shirt. Access denied, motherfucker.
My energy is loading. My energy is loading. Shout out to Gray, my brother on the check-in.
What up, shout out to producer G.
Gray, I gotta shout him out. We was in Atlanta, you know. We spoke about this, I know, last week and the week before. You know, we had some amazing shows, but I think to have him perform live on that last Saturday night, them two shows was dope. So shout out to
Bring
Greg
back real bars. Bring back real bars.
Getting it
Bring back,
back
real bars.
We got yo Jay, I'm gonna say this. On a positive note, we might as well get into some great news. The Triad Theater is back, so I will be producing my In Living Color live stand-up comedy series, the one that I had Travis come down to at that theater in the Upper West Side, and I'm bringing the live music shows back. So things is a little limited, but I need the energy to be back. And I'm talking the rest of the year, I got a bunch of shit happening on the Upper West Side of Manhattan is about to get this work. When I tell y'all, comedy specials, shit about to open, and folks is getting vaccinated, and can't stay close forever. So I just want to drop that. We got more live events coming here in New York. Yeah, I'm gonna be in Chicago tomorrow, y'all. I know I talk a lot of shit. I'm headlining the Riddles Club tomorrow night, so I'm excited about that.
Everybody, I'm gonna be in Syracuse tomorrow. Don't worry.
I'll be in the Bronx. Tim will be in Syracuse.
Joe
gonna be chopping it up with one of his favorite pilots. Cause you know, Joe on the road so much. Yo, Tim, Joe said this last
week. Yeah, I seen a picture. That's
yo, you know, that's his man.
Respect my phone like that again.
That's his whole. Yo, everybody out here listening on the Afterthought, let me tell you something about this guy, Joe Hill. This man right here, and Tiff know too, you know, Joe's real tally right now. Joe been making so many moves, and I respect my brother, because when I tell you the man works hard, he works hard and he deserves it. But you know you're working hard and you're making a lot of moves when the pilot know you on a first name basis?
I don't know that nigga.
That's your man, Joe. Don't do him like that.
That's my man, Fred. His name is Fred. We're going to dress him by his first name. I ain't going to tell you his last name because I don't want y'all niggas asking for Fred when y'all look for a JetBlue flight.
I'm asking for Fred.
Listen, he's a G. Listen. I frequented this flight, you know, to San Francisco, you know, SFO when I'm going back home to Oakland, my second home / first home / whatever. And it was funny. I took this first flight where I remember him from. It's funny because I remember faces. It had to be in like around Thanksgiving time. And I flew back. Then I took a flight from Cali to like, it was coming to New York, maybe like 2 months later. And dude goes, hey, it's Joe. He's back on the flight. I said, I thought I had a name tag on. I said, did I leave a name tag on the fucking conference? No, he was like, you were the comedian on my flight a couple months ago. I was like, yo, this motherfucker. So I ain't even going for it. Hit me with some alley shit. You want to come over here? I said, you know I do. Nigga got out of that first flight, right into the pilot's cockpit, and was in there like, damn, this doesn't look like it is. Huh? All I gotta do is say,
you know what? But to that point, Joe, you ain't going on Instagram Live and have to post that either, though.
Me and Fred, I'm about to fly this bitch. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nah, dude, this is not flight.
You ain't have to do all of that.
but no, I am going to be in Chicago. God is good, man. I'm able to put this into an ecosystem I've been trying to do. I've been on some Thanos shit. I've been traveling the galaxy, and things are starting. So it's up to me now to sustain it.
Joe wore the aviator jacket, y'all, with the hat.
And he got the aviator glasses too, Tim.
He got the aviator glasses.
Shout out to Aruga's, by the way. Shout out to Aruga's, black-owned spot up in North Plainfield. Had three amazing shows. The first one, second one was sold out. The third one was light, but it don't even matter. They showed me love. They showed Will Wright, my host, Big Mama Badass, and my guy Emerson Stripes, so much love.
When you was out there with my sis.
And yes, oh, so shout out to Maul. That, yo, listen, he went to college with Gary, Greg, and his sister.
Word?
I ain't gonna front. Me and his sister used to, you know, go to the school to visit our brother. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I was here. So, thanks, man. But honestly, you know what was dope about the show in Jersey? Every show that was over, at the end of the show, everybody in the audience lined up to buy merch. I thought that was so powerful.
That's
and everybody
love.
Got to fill out the merch and waited to take a picture. Everybody that was in each show, I thought that was powerful. And it makes you look forward to comedy coming back and the writer and the artist and all that good shit. So I'm excited for what's to come. I got some good news coming up, but I'm gonna hold y'all. I'm gonna wait.
Yeah. Can we talk about what's happening in less than a month from this Wednesday? Where we gonna be?
We're gonna be in Miami. That's not the all news, but Miami, yes, the crew. JP is coming on the road. The UGK, my brothers in comedy, we're producing two amazing shows. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, on Cinco de Mayo, like ki-ki-ki-ki, all that shit. Like, all that. We're gonna be super late in Miami. Two shows. And there is another show lined up for that Friday at another spot. Details coming where we got a spinoff 2.0 comedy show. Well, we got some special guests coming to that.
Shout out everybody in Miami. Miami's shout out to DJ Golden Boy. Hav, I'm coming. Hav, I'm coming.
But I got some news I'm gonna announce in the coming weeks, though, that I know y'all gonna enjoy. So other than that, man, this was a dope episode. You know what I'm saying? The crew was back in town tonight. Shout out to everybody that checked in on the Facebook, Twitter, the YouTube.
IG,
make sure y'all subscribing too, because the views is getting crazy. I've been seeing them, man. Everybody's going back, listening and watching. We need more support. So of course you gotta throw that up there. We gotta throw it up the right way. If you want to support the show, here's the link, anchorfm.com, the afterthoughtpodcast.com. So this is how this works, y'all. If you listen to this episode, we get a penny. That's right. Small gains equal big gains. So, you know, over time, things add up. You get sponsorships and things like that. We also have Regina Nelson, one of our main sponsors, donates to the show.
What up, Regina?
Every month. I got to send her some merch, a whole little care package for supporting us. But you could donate $1. You could donate $3 a month. You could donate $4. Whatever it is, this is going towards us keeping this thing rolling. And at some point, we will be taking this on the road because, I mean, the comedy's on the road. So, why not have this open for the comedy? So, yes. And shout out to my sis, Tiff. I got to shout out Tiff right now. She's got some dope merch, the She merch. You got a shirt by you, sis?
I do.
Throw one up on the screen right now. I need y'all to pay attention right now because I'm waiting for the him shirts or the he shirts. But
that's another thing. I got something.
The him downstairs.
Oh, here's the hood.
You sounded like Steve Harvey now. You sounded like Steve Harvey on the verses.
Him downstairs. But go ahead, Tiff. Talk to us about how can they support it?
You can go on to the Facebook. She has a Facebook page now. It's called She Brands. So you can go onto Facebook and find me there, She Brand. Have some hoodies. I also have some t-shirts.
I was gonna say, give the people on why you went with the word She and what it stands for. So I'm gonna drop the link on there.
She stands for, it's an acronym, it stands for Sis Healing Every Day. I'm presently going through my own healing process, and I was just sitting one day and I was thinking, like, okay, how do I get back into being creative? And I want it to be meaningful, and I want it to be true to who I am and where I'm at. And I've always been the type of person that's been very encouraging to the women that are around me. I'm raising a daughter. And I'm big on self-reflection and self-correction. So I'm like, okay, sis healing every day. It resonated because that's what I'm doing. So I'm like, okay, yeah. I want to share this with people. Maybe I should just put it on a t-shirt and see what it do, how people receive it. And people are receiving it. And especially now during COVID, you know, everyone is dealing with a lot, you know, during COVID. And we're all healing. And not only that, everybody is on their own journey of self-care, self-preservation, you know, and we're healing from everything, whether you're healing from your finances, you know, debt, whether you're healing from being overweight, alcoholism, you know, childhood trauma, whatever it is, there's something
healing from anything.
You can be healing from everything, and you're healing every day. It doesn't, you don't get healed and that's over. You know what I mean? Same way if you have surgery or if you break a bone.
Yeah.
You know, the weather can compromise how you may feel. It's going to ache. You know what I mean? Or if somebody says something that you may feel like you've gotten over, somebody may say something and it's a trigger word. Now it brings up old shit. You know what I mean? Now you got to work through that all over again. So it's not a hurry up and heal now type of thing. It's don't worry, sis. You're healing every day. Okay. So
make sure y'all support that. It's called the She Brand on Facebook. Or if you go to Tip Tonto's Facebook page, you can find it. She's always posting. I'm gonna get that brand out in the West Coast. Like I said, them shirts are going to some family of mine who are connected. And I think it's just good to just pass that brand around and start, you know, because I remember when Tiff was trying to get that out and I was like, yo, you need to do it. Like, this is the fucking time to create and so I'm interested to see where it goes next, and let's help take this line to where you can quit that job and you ain't got to sue the white people at your job.
I might still, because I'm healing.
Because she's healing every day. Support my sister on Facebook. You can catch her on the podcast with her. Inbox on the DM. But she healing every day merch has t-shirts, hoodies, and more. And she's expanding. So I got to show her love. And of course, come on, Jay. Lloyd's Carrot
Cake.
You
already know what it is. Continue. I want to sit here and say, I want to sit here and thank everyone seriously real quick on behalf of my entire family. You know, after we lost my aunt in December, the love and continued support that you have continued to show to my family, to the bakery, to the legacy of Lloyd and Betty Adams is extremely appreciated, and we love you and we thank you for that. We had a great super busy holiday weekend. Everyone getting their Easter and Passover desserts. So I just want to say thank you for your continued support and your continued love. You know, Lloyd's Carrot Cake, 6087 Broadway. We in Riverdale. Also, we have our Harlem, East Harlem location, 100th Street, Lexington Avenue, between 99th and 100th, right across the bus barn. We got the cake. We got our healthy drink.
That's where I used to hang out at, JP.
I told you, Tip, it's in your hood. I think I mentioned that. And you was like, for real? I was like, he got one in the Bronx and one in East Harlem.
Yes.
I used to hang out right there on the hill.
Tip, I got a story for you when we get off of here about how I used to hang out there on the hill.
There you go.
JP, we probably know each other from back then.
That's what I'm saying.
I think so. I really do. Because I went to 171, and then I went to 99.
Y'all going, this going to bug y'all out. Me and Gray went to school. We went to John B. Rushworm on 135th and Madison, the school where they filmed Above the Rim at. Literally.
Yeah.
We lived on 136. At the time, we were going to school in Harlem. But this is like fourth and sixth grade. That's a middle school right there where Tupac stabs Bernie Mac at the end Above the Rim. That's
Joe, now that you mention that, you might know my cousin.
The Kennedy Center, that's the basketball game where Above the Rim, the movie starts, and they're playing ball at. I took fencing and played ball there. Like, first of all, niggas
are not fencing myself. I played ball in Kennedy Center too. Joe, shout to Hirsch. Hold on, we got to shout out Hirsch. And we're going to talk about Kennedy Center. Hirsch is my OG. Hirsch know what it is. Yeah, Ephesus basketball, you know what it is.
In like 96,
Them Kennedy Center parties. Shout to Hirsch. Shout to Hirsch. Shout to Hirsch. A good brother who did so much for everybody uptown. Real talk. Okay. So
make sure you just support that. Support the She Healing shirts and the merch and the hoodies. I'm waiting for the He brand. It's coming because I'm going to wear the hell out of that. For now, I'm going to give it to the ladies in my fam. Let them hold it down. And I'm going to tag them on it and have them do a video.
We also do bath soaks and foot spa sets and everything made with
Mother's Day is coming up, people.
Mother's Day is coming up, people. We're giving away something for Mother's Day too. So
yes, and Father's Day as well.
I had men buy foot spas for me too. Athletes,
get it.
Soak their fucking feet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, we got some. What up, Kev? What up, Imani? What up, everybody that was
Uncle
checking
Kev.
In? We got some guests starting. We got the guests coming back. Special guests, of course.
Yes.
We got producers, music artists, influential people, poets. We're getting back to having some guests starting back next week for a nice span of 4 or 5 weeks where we got some interesting guests, new guests, and one or two returning guests that's going to give us some updates on what they've been doing. But, this is what we've been doing, Afterthought Podcast. This is our 33rd episode. Did y'all know that?
Wow. Patrick Ewing,
33rd. Total. The whole podcast.
Ewing.
33, baby.
Let's go.
When we get to the number 100, we're going to take a shot on. We'll take a shot. Yeah.
I'm ready. You got a 50. Shoot.
It's about that time. In the words of a famous poet, my sister Natalia, it's been fun, but real niggas got to run. So.
I like that. I like that. Remember this. A people without knowledge of its past is like a tree without roots. Thank you to the legend Marcus Garvey. Never forget that.
And on that note, y'all be safe. Continue to stay, socially distanced. Wash your hands. And we're going to be all right. It's going on a year, and I think we got to get used to these norms. Wearing a mask. Being cognizant of, things we're touching and, being around people as much as you can. But for real, I thank everybody for tuning in tonight. This has been the Afterthought Podcast with your girl, Tiff Tonto, JP Campbell, and your boy, Joe Hill. We will see y'all next Wednesday. You already know the
vibe. And make sure you chew slow before, so you don't chew slow.
Where your mama at?
No, where your auntie at? Where your auntie at?
This is the Afterthought Podcast. We out of here, y'all. Peace. Hey.